Hello, I'm James, and I've loved Seinfeld ever since it was part of the BBC Two's late night lineup in the 1990s.
Hello, I'm Steve. I also experienced Seinfeld in the same time slot, except I greeted it with great indifference and only watched the first episode.
But together, we're going to watch the entire Seinfeld series in a show that we call Hello, Newman. Hello, welcome to Hello Newman, another podcast about Seinfeld. This is episode 5, season 1, The Stock Tip. The Stock Tip, so that's not, that could refer to a stock cube.
The tip of a stock cube,
yeah.
Which would kind of be a corner, I suppose. Because there would be several tips on a cube.
Yeah, I think in America stock comes loaded onto Q-tips.
Or right,
as we'd call them, cotton buds. But we don't use cotton buds for stock in this country. Maybe.
And that's one of the many things that divides our cultures.
It is. One of the, yeah. Divided. Why divided by a common language. Okay, so we're watching Seinfeld on Amazon Prime in the UK. You can also watch it on DVD or on demand or... It's up to you. You can just listen to this
podcast.
Just
go to Jerry Seinfeld's house and ask him for the master.
Yeah, if you know Jerry Seinfeld, just go around and ask him if he minds watching it with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, bring him a coffee.
Yeah, maybe. Coffee. We've got season 1, episode 5, The Stock Tip, all queued up. We're going to go in 5 seconds. And it's all the zeros, Steve. Here we go. Start. They go out to dinner a lot. We were talking about how much money Jerry Seinfeld earns. They are out eating a lot, aren't they? Because they're at Monk's, but they also go out in the evening as well to different places. Maybe that's why they're so concerned about rent. They're paying so much to feed themselves.
It's New York, though. I mean, there's a diner, a restaurant, a fast food place on every corner. And probably in between those corners.
I can only afford to go out to eat once every couple of months. We'd all right.
I get the feeling that food is a little bit cheaper
in
the States, though. Although, you know, you'll be expected to put in a more healthy tip at the end of the meal.
That's true. That's,
he's discussing here.
Like a stock tip.
Almost.
Yeah. It is a funny, sharply observed piece. He's quite right about your emotions about the restaurant... At the beginning compared to the end.
Yeah. Nice uncomfortable bit there.
Yeah, definitely.
As the waitress gets a direction to start walking.
Yeah, and go. But this is a lovely scene in a different part of Monk's. And I'm not sure it's just a bit of foreshadowing it. I'm not sure this is a part of Monk's we go back to.
I think there's a very good reason why they don't hang too close.
Mm.
Because if you look behind Jerry's head and the curtain starts wobbling as the man walks past the scene decoration, I think that's probably why they don't spend too much time near the window.
Yeah, that could be it, couldn't it? Yeah. That matte painting only holds up for so long. In fact, now I look directly at it, I'm not entirely sure what it is. Brilliant. Show about nothing.
Yeah. But We've all done that, right? You drop something and then you're like, where is it? I could have sworn it just went there and now I can't see.
David and Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld are really adept observers, though, aren't they? I mean, he is a master of observational comedy and they're very good at, Larry David built another very successful sitcom out of those uncomfortable minutiae. Yeah.
It's a little bit of microaggression from Elaine here as she keeps slapping the table.
Oh, yeah. Another difficult relationship for Elaine.
Mm. So hard.
Yeah.
He has cats.
Yeah. And that's the things that wreck relationships in their world. It's beautiful.
It's kind of the childish thing that you were saying before. It's like, I can't be friends with you anymore because you've got a Sega Mega Drive and I have a Super Nintendo.
They're archetype Gen Xers. Like, complete inability to grow up.
this spoon thing being proof of that.
Yeah. To be honest. But isn't it a brilliant? It's a brilliant bit. I'd find it hard to believe that that was scripted. But what a great bit!
It's probably something she does as a thing, and then they said, "That's awesome. We'll just put that in a scene."
Here we go. So George is suddenly fixated on the business pages and newspaper because, as we find out, he's been given a stock tip.
There's quite a bit of setup that happens in this scene, actually. Again, it's not made a big deal. I mean, the thing with the two relationships, Jerry's relationship, Elaine's relationship, has already dropped in.
Yeah. But feels natural. Yeah. And he's funny. Because, like I've said previously, you know, it's clearly set in this magic reality where people don't react quite the way you would expect them to. The people who are around them react a little bit too straight to their behaviour at times. But I forget the train of thought I was on because I got distracted by George and the stock tip. I love the negotiating he's doing with himself.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. This is getting to see George's internal monologue up front and personal. You just know that his brain is doing that constantly negotiating.
But at
the
same time, he's goading Jerry into doing.
Yeah. If this is going
to
be,
and is he doing that because Jerry's his friend and he wants to share the benefit, or is he doing it to comfort himself because it's not only George taking the risk?
Let's share the failure, Jerry. Let's share the failure. Let's do it together. Neither of them expect it to pay off. They know instinctively that this isn't going to pay off. So he thinks he's a nice guy.
He thinks he's a nice guy because he does a nice thing.
Yeah.
New waitress, by the way.
Yeah, we're getting a real diversity of waitress in Monk's now.
Do you think the other one with the apartment?
Yeah.
We don't know whether she's still there anymore. A 3-year lease, though, so I guess she's probably found work somewhere else.
Maybe that experience with Jerry's friend Joel.
Away from people pouting about an apartment that they couldn't get.
That's true. I'd want to be away from them. So here we are. Here's Jerry's girlfriend. I think I'm calling this girlfriend number one. Lynn Clark plays Vanessa.
Girlfriend number one?
We think it's girlfriend number one.
Are you suggesting there are more girlfriends to come?
Well, I might be foreshadowing the fact that Jerry has a very active love life. Also, you'll notice the obsession with cereal. All he seems to have bought so far is cereal and milk to have with cereal. That's probably some cereal too that he's just put in the basket. She's looking at some breakfast materials. Mm. This is kind of this and Grapevine is all she did, apparently. I don't know what Grapevine was. It was a TV series. But she hasn't really worked since 2000. Oh. I believe she's in community theatre, teaching. That's, so good for her, that's man.
An upstanding role to play.
Yeah, I hope she's got a very... I hope she's got a good life.
So Vanessa's not sure about the trip here. Jerry wants to sell this trip experience and she's not sure. He's pitching it as, I think I'm ready to move this relationship on.
Yeah.
But the subtext there is Vanessa's not sure about the relationship.
Yeah. And she's in charge of it. It's powerful women in the world of Jerry Seinfeld. Mm. But he's obsessed about the stocks.
I bet she knows more about the stocks than he does.
Almost certainly.
She's a lawyer.
Of course.
She's probably got...
Yeah, he's a schmuck comedian.
Stock market.
Nice shirt. I like the pink shirt. Looks very contemporary.
It does look contemporary.
Yeah. Maybe a little overdrawn. I love Kramer's delight with how badly the stock is doing. Although, Kramer comes across meaner in this than in previous episodes. It's almost malicious. I think we're getting to see more of his style as well.
Jerry's style.
I think Kramer. Style. See more of. I like this shirt he's gone for. This vintage.
Yeah,
this
shirt makes me think of the accountancy firm BDO.
Really?
Very, very similar colour scheme and
wow.
and shape. That's all I could think of. BDO.
All of his clothes, even for the period, all of his clothes are vintage. You wonder where his wardrobe's from.
Oh, a thrift store. He looks like a thrift store kind of guy. He's finding the cool stuff.
Oh, yeah, almost certainly. I'm worried, though, because I know they talk about this in the commentary to the actual show. And I don't want to talk about stuff that I know appears in the commentary of the show that already exists. I want to provide value, Steve. Let me talk to you about my Seinfeld value proposition.
Ooh. Like a roll-out tie proposition.
Absolutely. It's a great idea. The last episode was the make-your-own-pizza business idea. Now it's the self-cleaning tie. Again, for the period, a brilliant, not so much now. We've gone more into the open-collar period of workwear.
Yeah.
But back then, when everyone wore a tie, like even teachers and that.
Mm-hmm.
Policemen, I don't wear ties anymore.
No.
T-shirt, I saw one the other day, just a T-shirt and a stab vest. That feels very underdressed for a policeman.
Feels a bit too casual for policemen.
Yeah, I'd still like to see a policeman in a shirt myself. But yeah, at the time, the self-cleaning tie would have sold by the million, I suspect.
Kramer wants to borrow Jerry's apartment while Jerry goes around holiday. Not that would stop Kramer just busting in and using it anyway, but...
But I love the fact that as we find out more about the people he would like to stay in Jerry's, Jerry remains entirely unfazed by the fact that he wants these rock and roll types in his anarchists, I believe. Mm. They become anarchists by the end. That's really low grade video.
That's send a video camera out.
Yeah. This guy's great. I really like the dry cleaner. He's very funny. Played by Ted Davis. Ted Davis coming up here, known for very little, but you know, I'm sure he's a good guy. But sorry, go on.
Yeah, I was just going to say, worth noting, especially the 1-2 of male unbonding in this episode. Yeah. Jerry and George spend an awful lot of time hanging out in functional places.
Oh yeah.
They just meet up somewhere and, I've got to pop down to the dry cleaners or I'm off to the laundrette. Yeah. And they just seem to hang out all the time, going to these functional... It's like also, the bank.
Yeah.
With a jar of coins.
Yeah. This scene, once he gets to talking with the dry cleaner, I think this scene could almost be in Curb. I think it would end very differently. I mean, the dry cleaner... You can imagine being somewhat more stubborn in Curb. But this plays like... Jumpers of George.
Yeah.
It's a green cable knit, not quite so chunky as the cricket job in previous episodes. See, I love the little shirt. Like, in the way that I like very small hats. I mean, obviously that's clearly just a normal child shirt. But it's still a lot of fun.
There's still more material on your sofa, Jerry, if you need to make another shirt.
That's true. It is the same colour as his sofa in the last episode. This guy's so funny. When I looked him up, I assumed he'd have been a stand-up at the time, but I don't believe so.
I wonder how many of the people who do little bit parts like this actually spend most of their time in theatre in New York, and then they just do these little bits and bobs and then...
It's filmed in LA.
Yeah, but they can take a plane,
But actually, I have to say, it always feels like New York. It's funny, isn't it? Because Seinfeld, one of the classic New York sitcoms, filmed in LA.
But they could have filmed it in New York if they wanted to.
They could if they'd wanted to, but I think the point is they didn't want to.
No, they didn't want to.
And who are we to argue? Yeah, in Curb, there's no way that he says, "I shrunk it."
Oh, no.
Or
no, they dig their heels in.
He would do so in a very conspiratorial way that only Larry David would hear and would then come back to bite him in the backside. But it's all there. It's sort of like the prototype of what's been comedy that's been the premium comedy available for the last 20 years, if you know what I mean. That was really poorly phrased. But Curb is so lauded. And you can see it's all here.
Yeah. As I said much earlier on, there are times when, especially with Jerry, but in certain characters, the way they say things, their reactions, it just feels so Larry David.
Yeah, yeah. His voice is really clear, knowing what you know with Kirby's voice. What were we thinking of the grey jacket, black shirt combo?
Do you know what? I didn't really pay that much attention to it there. So I don't know what that says about the combo. Maybe it was just inoffensive.
Yeah, it was really bland. I like the way she plays the elegy. So she's got to decide what to do about the... although, to be fair, she's got a genuine affliction here. She's got allergies to the guy's cats.
Yeah.
But I like the discussion about cat murder.
Yeah.
And again, this is an odd conversation to be having on a situation comedy.
There's some interesting innuendo in here, and I don't know whether it was deliberate or not. First of all, rubbing out a cat.
Yeah.
And then in a minute... she talks about shaving them.
Wow. Oh, see? Yeah.
Shaving
cat. You're more astute than I am, because I don't think I'd read that subtext before, but yeah, you never know. It feels a bit more icky now.
But I'm probably reading too much into it, but I just found that very interesting.
It is. That was a moderate slide from Kramer. I'm giving it 3. Okay. 3.
Out of 5 or 10?
Out of 20. Another quite vintage shirt there. Do you think...
It's more like a bowling number.
I need to stop obsessing about the clothing, because they definitely talk about it on Seinfeld commentaries. I'm not adding value that I promised earlier.
Jerry's losing a lot of money now.
Yes. Yeah, it's really... the stocks are really tanking. And Kramer is increasingly delighted. Terrible.
I get
man.
The feeling he spends an awful lot of time doing that, just looking out the window.
Almost certainly. Telescopes, I think, are very popular amongst... we talked about it in the very first episode, didn't we? About the telescopes.
And he's off with the binoculars.
Yeah. So he downgraded... to pay for all of the meals out, he sold his telescope downgraded to binoculars. But he did buy some Venetian blinds.
Oh, feet off the couch.
Yeah, I'm glad you caught that as well. Friend or no friend, I'd be really upset, especially like his fabric cushions.
Yeah.
Get in your New York. Stinking
Come on, it's not
shoes.
A clean place. There's probably dog muck out there.
Almost certainly dog muck. It's the late 80s, early 90s. It's almost certainly dog muck, and some of it may or may not have turned chalky. What an interesting clothing combination, though. Brown brogues. What's that sort of dark green trousers with a slightly lighter green cable knit and polo?
Just the cable knit and polo, to be honest.
True, but then the trousers. Oh, George. Is that the same computer? He hasn't upgraded yet.
No, not yet.
Model of a Porsche in the background there. Jerry Seinfeld.
He sticks with it though. He's sticking with the stock there. Even though he's making a big deal out of how bad it is.
This place.
Wanted to share that misery with Jerry.
This place looks like it smells like my 70s aunts. It's such a beautifully miserable scene, isn't it?
Yeah. And the little internal monologue comes back for the first time since when he first met Vanessa.
That's right.
Again, I don't know how often that happens, but just in terms of his relationship with Vanessa, it's a nice callback.
Yeah. Makes him a lot like... makes him look like Garfield, but now I think about it, I don't think Garfield has a lot of internal monologue, does he? Or does he? I'm having a real Garfield crisis, which I didn't expect to happen to me on a podcast about Seinfeld.
Well, Garfield speaks a lot. But his mouth never moves.
Yeah, that's true. So now he was played by, was it Lorenzo Music?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. Famously.
We should probably talk about Vanessa's cardigan game, actually.
Oh, yeah. It's strong.
I've seen title sequences for cartoon shows that looked a lot like.
Yes, definitely a children's show.
A bit Rugrats, to be honest.
Definitely.
Or maybe Rocco's Modern Life.
Oh, Rocco's Modern Life. Just makes me think about pizza now.
It's a good thing to think about. Especially if you made it yourself and put it in an oven.
That's true, but you know, restaurant. That's I'd love to do that. Oh, see, now he's sold it. Oh.
See?
Oh, Jerry.
It's bad luck. So he's having a terrible time.
Yeah.
The stock's gone up.
Yeah.
He's having a wet weekend with Vanessa. He's trying hard to keep this thing going.
Yeah.
And she's clearly checking out at this point.
The only thing that doesn't...
Here we go.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. Getting spiteful.
Yeah.
She's got standards, James.
Yeah.
Standards.
Yeah.
Because she's a lawyer.
Exactly. She's a well-educated woman.
With friends, no doubt, who played the stock market. Probably.
She's better than him. Definitely more knowledgeable about such things. I love this. Triumphant George. Smoking as well, in a restaurant.
A big stogie.
Yeah. Oh, those were the days, weren't they? You'd go and have a meal when someone could be smoking a cigar right next to you.
Mm.
Oh, happy, innocent. Smoke-filled days.
Maybe that's why they go through waitresses real quickly.
They don't die of emphysema. Makes a lot of sense.
COPD all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, see, now, 8, we wouldn't talk, like, two Brits, guys like us would not talk on this level, like, I made a lot of money.
Yeah. You'd be very apologetic about it.
We don't talk about how much we earn. We wouldn't talk about how much we've got in savings. We certainly wouldn't talk about the stock market.
Yeah. Oh.
But part of his celebration is actually buying a meal for his friends.
It is. It's almost an act of kindness and generosity.
But only because he can rub it in their faces.
Yeah. It's entirely for him to gloat. And we get to see exactly how far his generosity extends shortly as well. But nicely bookends. It starts and ends around the same area of monks.
Yep. And on the same topics.
Yeah.
The relationships.
They're very good at echoing and synchronicity, I think, Seinfeld. Very good at...
And Superman as well, because that's the first thing they talk about.
Jerry's a big Superman fan.
Funny?
Yeah. I think he gets referenced quite a lot. I think, I don't want to foreshadow his Superman relationship. There we go, George. Already ready to lose all of his money.
Can't help himself.
Yeah, and I don't think it follows it through, but you know he's going to lose next time round. Joy doesn't visit George's life for very long at all. But... much like Jerry, because usually he engineers it. Jerry is the engineer of his own downfall in this show. It's very unusual that George manages not to be, but he will. He'll manage it in time. So here we see how far George's generosity really extends.
There we go.
So flash. There it is. That little internal monologue of his just ticking over.
Which feeds back to the first bit of stand-up as well on the show.
Yeah. About the bill and... Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's clever. It's almost like the guys writing this sitcom knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
So there's the suit tie.
Oh, there we go.
The tie is both muted and gaudy all at the same time.
Is it a microscopic shot of amoebas?
Well, I think, no, this is the early 90s. I think it's AIDS.
Oh...
Everyone was devastated. He was on stage going, look, I've got AIDS too. On my tie. Don't have sex on my tie.
A bit of a flat bit of stand-up there, I thought.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah.
And
it's another one that would benefited from just slipping out from that last scene.
Yeah.
It was fine. But it's amazing.
Very New York, very of the time, though, talking about the stock market, investments and things like that.
We're still Wall Street. It's only a few years prior to it, wasn't it? It's still it's still kind of in the 80s bubble of, like you say, of yuppies and status and so forth. I really enjoyed that, watching it last night, actually, because I watched it last night. Having watched it in context then last night as well with the final three episodes of the season, I actually don't think it's as strong as I previously thought. I'm assuming you're sticking with your pick from a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah, I still think The Robbery is the strongest of this batch. I mean,
yeah.
it's the one that seemed the most focused,
yeah,
and definitely unlocked a lot of the show for me as well. So, yeah. I mean, it might not be everyone's favourite because maybe they got it earlier,
sure,
or they don't get it till later or for other reasons. Mm. But for me, absolutely, it's still The Robbery. But I agree with you. It's like, this was an amusing and perfectly fine 22 minutes, but it wasn't all that funny.
No, I think I enjoyed it when I was watching it prior to recording. I enjoyed it because of the interaction amongst the friends, the three friends. So I actually think their characters develop quite nicely in terms of the relationship dynamics.
Yes.
In this one. But
it kind of returns a little bit. We haven't seen that for a couple of episodes. Mm. It kind of returns to the tension between Jerry and Elaine.
Yeah.
And how they react to each other when they're in relationships. Yeah. And
The book ending is really good in this one, which is something that the writers are very adept at. But yeah, an enjoyable episode, Steve. Do you have any final thoughts about the episode?
I think as I've said already, it was kind of, it was amusing, it was enjoyable, but it wasn't necessarily laugh out funny. There's definitely a lot going on in there, again, just about, and you know, not every sitcom has to be about a laugh a minute, does it? I mean, there are amusing situations, there are good gags, and even in this, in terms of things which are set up and then returned to, mechanically it works very well. You can see, you know, the humour and what's going on. And sometimes those things aren't necessarily belly laughs, but you know, they will tickle and amuse as you go along. But that was the end of a season.
Yeah, five shows shown over a summer, I believe.
So this was the 21st of June 1990.
Yeah.
So the five episodes were shown kind of in a little gap there.
Yeah.
With no idea whether there would be another season
after that. That could have, I think, as far as everyone working on it.
Does that leave people hungry for more at the end of that episode, do you think?
And that's the brilliant thing. No. Not at all, really. It's the season is enjoyable enough, but there are periods where some of the scenes feel a little bit too long, and it drags a little bit at times. It's not as punchy as it could be, but there's clearly the nucleus of something wonderful there as well.
Absolutely.
The situations, the dialogue are so odd for the period.
Yes.
But so well observed and so well written that it feels like there really is the core of something really very good in there. Funnily enough, my first Seinfeld episodes were the first two episodes of season three.
Mm-hmm.
And I only saw these really early ones later on. So I always had the benefit of watching what I consider to be the series proper. Because we have two short seasons to start with. And then the third season's the first 22 episode season. So it was nice going back and rewatching these, but they come across as slightly thin for me. And boring is unfair, but slightly thin.
I mean, I couldn't accuse any of these episodes being dull.
Yeah. No, not at all. But yeah, it's clear that it's going to blossom into something bigger, but it's hard to get your head into where on earth must it have been for the creatives involved and the executives. How did it get turned into a second series? Because it's a curious little egg when you sort of compare it to the likes of Friends and even Roseanne, I guess, would have been a big sitcom at the time. The Cosby Show.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Simpsons had just kicked in.
Yeah, the Simpsons had barely started at this point. In fact, I think Seinfeld slightly predates even the Simpsons.
I think The Simpsons was 89.
Was it? I mean, certainly it had been on Norman. Yeah, so it's okay, around about the same time. But it's a really, it is a very curious, and I think it's, it becomes definitively 90s. But this show's kind of happening before the 90s have really started.
Well, yeah, I mean, the first episode filmed in 89.
Yeah.
And then the first season put together in 90. Probably filmed very early 1990 as well. And as we know, when we look back at any decade, we always think the entire 90s was just like the 90s, where in actual fact, probably the first two or three years are still very much like the 80s.
Yeah, society is transitioning actually into the modern world. This is pre-mobile phones and pre-mass ownership of computers, very much pre the internet being ubiquitous.
Certainly.
So it feels of the modern age. The stories, the situations feel of the age that we're in now. But this is right at the cusp. It is at the turning point, I think, in terms of like the modern society we live in now. So it's quite curious that it's some aspects of it maybe feel a little dated now. Like there was a scene in one of the last two episodes of this season where Elaine and Jerry are talking about going out to eat. Elaine's not really very hungry, and they're trying to make their minds up. And Jerry says, why don't we go, I think it's Jerry says, how about that cappuccino place?
Mm.
It's before coffee shops were ubiquitous, which is really mental to get your head around. Because, I mean, Costa have opened up a shop in my toilet. There's so many Costas. So it's curious, because it's got very modern attitudes. Yeah. Feels like they're living in a world that's not entirely recognisable at this point.
Yeah, just to sum up that first season, it wasn't necessarily clear at the time, but I mean, not necessarily knowing what would happen to Seinfeld, but knowing what the 90s would be like as a decade.
Yeah.
And knowing how formats would start to be changed and subverted through the 90s.
Yeah.
In that respect, in a more subtle way, because when the 90s really started subverting things, it could get a little bit wacky.
Yeah.
But it was ahead of its time in terms of what it was attempting to do compared to everything else that was out there on the landscape at the time.
I definitely think the comedy of this... These episodes are strong enough to still very much stand up on their own two feet.
A lot of single camera comedies now play off minutiae in a way that sitcoms back then didn't really do.
Mm. Yeah. Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So we should probably go on and watch season two then, do you think?
That sounds great.
Shall we do that in the next episode?
We'll start then.
Good. Okay. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.